Well, amen. Before we really get going on this part of our service today, I just want to make sure we get a few announcements out of the way to make sure we can continue. Again, if you want to participate in the Lord's Supper, you need to pick one of these up outside the two doors. The wafer and the juice are all in one package, so don't be looking for two different things, okay? So those are there for you. And then also, we're going to be doing some responsive readings today, and that insert is in the bulletin. So here in just a few moments, when I mention this little sheet, you're going to need one of those if you want to participate with us. So if you need to slide out and get anything, now's the time to do that. We do want to kind of orientate our minds toward the Lord's Supper this morning. And just know, kind of as we go along, this entire service is really intended to be reflective. I'm going to walk you through a few steps to get you spiritually prepared to partake in the supper. But you're kind of on your own as we go along. If you just need to stop and pray and do business with the Lord, do so right where you're at. We will stand here for a large portion of the service as well, as we've already done so. And as I always say, you know, if you have any issues, feeling weak or handicaps or anything like that, just do what you need to do. Be seated, however you need to handle things. But I will ask you to stand for quite a bit. And I apologize again. Personally, very much love the significance of coming to the Lord's table and taking the elements and having our deacons serve. But we just continue to feel like with COVID, it just doesn't make sense to have everybody line up and pass by one central point. So we're going to do it this way, maybe hopefully for the last time. But I think it's still important that we just participate one way or the other. So we're going to do so today. Now, today we do have the great privilege of spending this morning participating in the Lord's Supper as a child of God, forgiven and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am thankful for forgiveness, for grace, for mercy, for new life. So many things that the Lord's Supper helps us celebrate and reflect on. And as always, as we enter this observance time together, I believe we need to be very mindful of the holy ceremony in which we are participating. I won't ask you to read this one with me, but on your first sheet there, there is 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 31, the first selection there. It reminds us of what we're doing today. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. So there's a solemnity, there's a severity, I think, to taking this ceremony flippantly. And so we want to make sure we have an opportunity to examine our hearts. I hope you've come here today spiritually prepared to partake of this moment. But out of respect for God and the seriousness of this observance, I just want to review the four key steps to being spiritually prepared to partake of the Lord's Supper on this day. First of all, we remember the cross. Without the cross, this entire observance is meaningless. The symbols mean nothing. If we have not individually accepted what Christ has done on the cross to pay for our sins, we are still sinners. We're condemned and unclean, and we are not yet welcome at the Lord's table. Would you stand with me and read the second selection there on your sheets together with me, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Since we have a great high priest who is not through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But not only do we remember the cross, but we also prepare ourselves. On the cross, Jesus paid for our sins. We are forever forgiven and considered holy in the eyes of God, but we struggle with sin. I think we all would admit to that today. We still struggle on this side of the cross. Sin disrupts the intimacy of our union with God and with others. And so before we partake of this supper together, we need to take one last accounting of our sins and ask God to make us whole. If you would read that third selection with me, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So not only do we remember the cross and prepare ourselves, but we also restore right relationships. It's not enough to simply bring what we see as our sins before the Lord. He also wants us, and that means this entire church fellowship, to live in unity with one another. He wants us to be intimate. He wants us to be kind to one another, to serve one another. And in so doing, we serve him. And we picture his glory to a lost and dying world. He wants us to be at peace with one another. Would you read that fourth selection there with me? 1 John 4:7-9. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And finally, we remember the cross, we prepare ourselves, we restore right relationships, and we renew our first love. So finally, our last act before participating in the supper is to remind ourselves of our incredible love relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We know, we celebrate that he came to die for us. We know that he paid it all. May we never neglect his great love or cheat upon him with rivals such as materialism or worldliness or any idols of any kind. Would you read Psalm 107:1-2 and 8-9 with me? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. So at this time, after just walking through those four simple steps together, and we want to give you a chance to respond to the leading of the Lord before we partake of the Lord's Supper. If you still have something you need to get settled between you and the Lord, maybe there's something the Holy Spirit has convicted you of just during this time, or there's something that you feel like you need to get settled between you and maybe it's someone in your family or someone else in the room, now is your opportunity to get that done. And if you simply just want to come and approach the stage and cry out to the Lord about something going on in your life, you know you're welcome to do that. If you have any decision to make, if you want to know about Jesus, now's a really good time to come to know Jesus. So the invitation is now open, and it's your time to respond. Let's do business with God. Let's sing.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found like a flood comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame
We do want to spend a moment, again, before we partake of the elements, just allowing God's word to continue to remind us of his power to identify, cleanse, and forgive sin. We also want to allow his word to remind us, part of what we celebrate when we partake of the Lord's Supper is that he can and does make all things new, starting with this fleshly body. Starting with our sin nature and transforming us slowly but surely into the image of Christ. And also we celebrate the fact that he has the power to redeem his church. He has the power to put together what has been broken. A day is coming when all that we deal with, the heartbreak, the sadness, the difficulty in this crazy world we're living in is going to be made new. And so we celebrate that. And I believe it's going to be done in a way that's far beyond our imaginations. So let's read together the next four selections here, starting with number 6 on your sheets, Romans 12:2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And then the next selection, Psalm 126. Read that with me. It says, "Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We're glad." Isaiah 42, read that one with me. It says, "I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." And the last selection, Isaiah 43, says, "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And if you would like, you might take a seat just for a moment. I know you've been standing quite a while. We're moving toward participating in the elements. Typically at this time, we would ask the deacons to come forward and present those elements and be prepared to serve them. Again, I hope if you're intending to participate with us, you do have the elements in your hands. But now I want to kind of extend the traditional formal welcome to the table. We're now about to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians. Although none should participate in the elements without faith in Christ, we cordially invite all who sincerely know Him to come to His table. Come to the sacred table not because you must, but because you may. Come to testify not that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be His true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on heaven's rewards, but because in your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and help. Come, not to express an opinion, but to seek His presence and yield before His Spirit. Would you pray with me today? Father, we thank You that You've written into the fabric of our lives this symbol of our Savior's death, burial, and resurrection. We thank You for His shed blood. We thank You for His broken body. We thank You that He did not stay in the grave, but He has been resurrected and is alive and well and is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. We thank You that You sent Your Spirit to be with us, indwelling us and leading us and guiding us into Your will and conforming us into the image of Christ each and every day. We thank You that You love us so much. It's not just that You've redeemed us, not just that You've forgiven us, not just that You've made us new, but You're with us each and every day. You're in the process of conforming us into Your image. You're preparing a home for us, a home that is not broken, a home that does not have sin, a home that is not fleeting or failing, but is stored up for us in the eternity, the glory of heaven. Father, we thank You for how good You are. And we thank You that we have an opportunity to celebrate these things even as we remember the heartache and the difficulty that Your Son went through on our behalf. We thank You, Father, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may remember in our study of Exodus, we first saw the template for this ceremony laid down for us in Exodus 12. Verses 5 through 6, the Passover, it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight." And we know what they did. We know how they shed the blood of those lambs, and they placed it upon the doorposts of their homes so that the angel of death might pass over. All of that was a foreshadowing of 1 Corinthians 11, where we see what we now commemorate and participate in. The Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, also, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Well, I hope and pray that you all have the elements, and I'm going to ask you to stand now as we prepare to participate. Yeah, you might go ahead and unleash that first tab. They're a little bit tough, all right? And there will be a second one beneath it, just so we're all on the same page. But your wafer's there on top. If you have the wafer, hold on just a second. Let's pray one more time. Let everyone kind of catch up, and then we'll participate. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You. Thank You that we could have walked in this room spiritually unprepared to stand before You. And because of the grace and the goodness that You've poured out on us, because of the sufficiency of the cross, because our sin debt has been forever paid, if we're under the blood, we just run to You. We ask You to remind us of the depth of our forgiveness, to extend again to us the goodness of Your grace. And as always, we stand before You covered. covered by the blood. Father, we thank you for the sufficiency of the cross. We thank you for the significance of this moment and what we commemorate. We do thank you for the body that was broken on our behalf. We thank you that we can come and do these things in remembrance of you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Let us eat of this bread in remembrance of Christ, and may the life which was in him be in us also. You may take the bread." I can sort of hear when you're ready, I think, you know. So. All right. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Let us drink of this cup in remembrance of Christ, and may the spirit in which he died be our spirit. You may take of the cup." You can certainly help us by walking those out on your way out today and throwing those away. But at this time, normally we would have the deacons kind of solemnly cover the elements and then transition back for this worship element. But obviously we don't have that to do. So drink in just a moment of the goodness of God and the significance of what we're celebrating today. And join us for this last worship element as we just give the Lord thanks for who he is. And again, the sufficiency of the cross. Would you sing with us?